o loo e mafuta male SBS Samoan.
Mr. Daniel Walton, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
What do you know of the proposed ag visa?
At the moment, I think there's a lot of details still to come to light. What we do know is the Agriculture Minister announced the visa, saying that it would have inferior conditions and protections to that comparison to the Pacific schemes, be it the Seasonal Worker Program, the Pacific Labour Migration Scheme, which is soon to be merged into one under the PALM scheme. Unfortunately for us, for a long period of time, we've been really concerned about what it will mean for our friends in the Pacific and for workers from Southeast Asia coming under this visa. And so we've been advocating as much as we can to provide proper safeguards and protections, because we know, unfortunately, under the various schemes operating across our farms in the fruit and veg industry, there's been a lot of exploitation of a lot of workers, and particularly those from the Pacific.
When you say that, and I quote here, that the new MOU, Memorandum of Understanding with Vietnam, is unlikely to result in an actual hard agreement, what do you mean by that?
So the government's been promoting for a long period of time that this agriculture visa was going to be the future for our fruit and vegetable industry. And we've been very vocal and critical that unless there are proper safeguards put into place, then what we will see is just complete repeat of that exploitation.
Do you think the Ag Visa will ultimately replace the Pacific Islander Seasonal Workers Program?
So it's a basic rule of economics, right? So if you think of all of the amazing Samoans, and I think there's probably give or take 4,000 odd that have come across to work on Australia's shores at the moment, if there is another visa which provides fewer checks and balances, that is, it's cheaper for a farmer or a labour hire company to not have to go through all the checks and balances, not have to make sure that the proper inductions are in place, the access to pastoral care, the support necessary. If they don't have to go through all of those steps, then what is most likely to happen is that a farmer is going to choose to go down that cheaper route. And unfortunately, that's going to be at the expense of the worker on that farm, and in particular, the near 20-plus thousand workers who are over here from the Pacific who make a great contribution to Australia and to our fruit and veg industry, but also make a really, really important piece of the puzzle for the Pacific being able to make good money and send it back to their families to support their families, friends and villages in their development.
If a worker signs a contract with an employer, either directly or through an employment agency, to be paid so much per hour, and upon arrival at the workplace, the terms of employment are changed by the employer to a piece rate, is that fair? I mean, the worker is now in a foreign country with next to no support network.
I think for a lot of your listeners who have gone through this to work on our nation's farms, I think they've been promised a lot in the beginning. Pre-departure induction conversations have been guaranteed a lot of things, high hourly rates and great income, stable employment, safe work. They've been promised all that. And what happens far too often is they make tracks, head over to Australia, get inducted, get scattered and sent out to a variety of farms, and find that they're not getting paid that rate, that there's a whole lot of deductions for their, be it for accommodation, be it for water, be it for travel, be it for food, be it for a whole range of things, let alone deductions for their flights, which we still think none of these should be taking place at all. But that is common. That is unfortunately common. And so for a lot of Pacific Islanders that have come over to Australia, they find themselves stuck. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to suddenly pack up this job? And if I do so, then I'm sent back to my home country, and there's a lot of threats and intimidation for a lot of those workers that they would be bringing great shame amongst their community and their family. And so they try and stick it out in the hope that things will get better. And unfortunately for a lot of workers, it does not get better.
There have also been allegations that workers have been discouraged from joining a union. Some were threatened with loss of employment if they did. Have you heard of any such allegations? And what's the view of the AWU about allegations like that?
Yeah, unfortunately, not only have heard about them, I've seen them firsthand. And, you know, clearly there are some people who want to make sure that there is no voice for the workers in our fruit and vegetable industry. There's no voice for Pacific Islanders. There's no voice for small workers that come over to Australia. Unfortunately, there are some that try to do whatever they can to make sure that workers remain unprotected. We've spoken to people before who've become members of our union, of the AWU, and they've been told to resign. We've spoken to people who've been told or been threatened that they would lose their job or that they would be deported back to Australia if they were members. I think for a lot of people, like around the world and in Australia and particularly from the Pacific, a lot of people are smart enough to realise that the motivation here is to make sure that workers don't have a say, that they don't complain about safety, they don't complain about the bad practices at work, the deductions in their pay, the lack of hourly rate. Those are the motivations that sit behind it, and we are doing our very best to try and provide a strong voice for workers in this industry, but clearly we've got a long way to go.
The Pacific Island Workers Program has been the subject of a Senate inquiry, and some of the witness statements at the inquiry are quite concerning, aren't they? Like the Samoan fruit picker working 70-plus hours and getting $100 net after all the deductions. What do you say to that?
Well, I think, unfortunately, these stories, the federal government would like to say that they are one-off cases, that there are a few bad apples. The practical reality is that it is playing out on a widespread basis right across the country, and not just targeting Samoan workers or Pacific Islanders generally, but also local workers and those workers that are over here on a working holiday maker scheme. We see it happen all the time, and what we are trying to do is provide a voice. We're trying to encourage people to get together. I know trade unions are not a common feature in some countries throughout the Pacific, but what we want to do is make sure that we can protect workers, that we can look after them and make sure that they are getting a fair day's pay for a fair day's work, which is an old Australian call, which is essentially you go to work, you work hard, you do your job, and you should, at the end of the day, get everything that you're entitled to.
What's the ideal situation, Mr. Walton? If the ag visa is going to eventuate and becomes the ticket for many in the Pacific Islands and countries of Asia, including Vietnam, to come to Australia, what's the ideal situation for these people to get a fair go here in Australia?
Well, what I think should happen is primary preference given to our friends in the Pacific. So that is, there's an existing scheme now where the intake for Pacific Islanders have been doubled, and I think that is important. At the moment, that has not reached its cap. And so whilst it hasn't reached its cap, there is more opportunities for our friends in the Pacific to come over and work on our shores. And whilst that is happening, the government is trying to bring in this new agriculture visa. And my fear is, unless they are absolutely equal, that is, unless they have to have all the checks and balances that the Pacific programs have, which I still think the Pacific programs have got room for improvement. But let's just say if they're both equal, then I think we can make sure that there is protection provided in place. If they are not equal, then I fear that our friends in the Pacific will lose out to workers in Southeast Asia who have got much higher populations in place and are more likely to come over and fill those roles to at the expense, unfortunately, of our friends in the Pacific. So what we hope will happen is we'll make sure that there is a strong voice provided, that workers in the industry who are concerned, they can reach out to our union, that we can do as much as we can to try and help protect them, both before they leave the country, when they get here, and make sure that they get every single dollar that they're owed, and to make sure these opportunities remain in place, because for me, the Pacific and Pacific Islands generally have a very big place in my heart, and I want to do everything I can to protect their interests going forward.
Daniel Walton, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Toi fia fa'afofonga I nisi tala fa'apea, Fafofonga ile Apple Podcast, le Google Podcast, Spotify, ma po fela vai mawailo podcast.